The Junior Springboks, at times, look like a good team, but they have a nasty habit of shooting themselves in the foot. Sometimes, both feet. Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I delve into the state of the Junior Box. I'll talk about what to like about them, what not to like, and I'll give you a very early prediction for how I think they'll fare at the Under-20 World Championship in Italy in July. So I'm going to start with the positives. The Junior Springboks made strong starts in all three matches.
Now Cheswell Uster slicing his way through. Wonderful line from Hashim Peed.
We led early on against Argentina. We were 17-0 ahead at halftime against Australia.
Twisting right to the left, and they have the try.
And we were 19-0 ahead of New Zealand after only 13 minutes. A lot of that is due to our attacking abilities. But our attack is more than just one-dimensional. We have a backline that dazzles.
Looking for Nua out the back, and the ball not going to hand for Conway. The interception is on. It's going to be a try for Ndlozi.
It must be the same.
And I'm also very impressed by our ability to score tries from line-out maul drives.
Early engagement. Tyrone with the take at the maul. Another powerful surge from South Africa.
There's definitely a weapon there. Now, in terms of the attack, I cannot help but feel that this is where the influence of Johan Ackermann is being felt the most. I thought our lineouts improved as the tournament went on, and I'd say the same for our scrums. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't perfect, but from Argentina to New Zealand, I could see improvements in those areas. And while it obviously would have been great to win the Under-20 Rugby Championship, at least we could see improvements in certain areas as we went along. Now, like the scrums and lineouts, this one might sound contradictory, but I was impressed by our resilience. Early in the second half against Los Pumitas, the South Americans increased their lead and we were behind by 10. But we showed great fight, determination and courage to claw our way back and eventually win fairly comfortably. Similarly, against the Baby Blacks, even though we fell behind 10 points as it turns out, we never stopped fighting. That never say die attitude is a massive asset.
I'll be Bester, running hard and keeping three defenders busy. Pete again, Nebelele. They are on penalty advantage, they don't need it.
Now I said contradictory because when you look at that, then you can only ask yourself, what the hell happened against Australia? The breakdown is always a key area too. To that end, I thought we performed adequately. Our ruck speed was also pretty good, I thought. The work done by Matt Ramau in particular was impressive. But I also really liked what I saw from Bato Klekani. And if you've watched this channel long enough, then I know you're expecting me to wax lyrical about the loose forwards, and sure enough, I'm going to mention all the ones I liked in this tournament. Tando Biela, as well as Wandile Mlabe. Yep, I thought there was a lot to like from our loose forwards. Other players who impressed me were Siposeto Mnebelele, Simpiwe Ngobese, who I thought epitomized what I'm saying here about getting better every game. I also quite enjoyed our captain Riley Norton.
And then Riley Norton surging forward and over.
And in partnership with him at various stages in the second row, JJ Tron and Mornay Fenta also looked decent. In the back line, I thought Hashim Peed was magnificent against Argentina. Maybe not as influential against the Baby Blacks, but there's certainly something there to work with.
Beautiful inside ball. Hashim Peed has his second, and all of a sudden,
Cheswell Uster looks an explosive player on the wing. And then I thought Siyan Ndlozi showed glimpses of what he can do against Australia. And not so much against the Kiwis, but certainly in the opening match against Argentina, there was a lot to like from Guillermo Mentu at fullback for me. Now look, I'm not picking these boys out and saying they're all going to be world-class Springboks in years to come. there's a chance none of them make it. What I'm saying is that during this competition, I thought these were the guys that can feel proud of their efforts. Not that any of them were without fault, of course. In terms of weaknesses, well, we certainly had problems in the lineouts. Again, it was poor against Argentina, but I thought it did improve. Same with our scrums. It got better. But I think there remains work to be done in both areas. Consistency is what we're looking for. Now, I think it might be easy to pick on our defense as a weakness, but that's because it's so obviously weak. Argentina at times.
Advantage played by the referee.
Australia in the second half.
For Harvey. And getting outside his man is Rubens. And there's a man to his left. It's Conway. Once again, he's tracked down, but he gets the pass away this time. That's a brilliant score.
And New Zealand, almost every time they got into our 22, scored tries against us for fun. That is simply not good enough, and it has to improve if we are to stand any chance in Italy in July. I don't want to be overly harsh, but our defense is not up to scratch. I think another area where we struggle is our decision-making. Now, that can contribute to poor defense, i.e. poor defensive decision-making. And then maintaining intensity is something else I'll single out too. I grant you it's probably impossible to sustain what we did in the first 13 minutes against the Baby Blacks, but that's where game management and decision-making comes into it. Similarly, there was a significant drop-off in intensity against Los Pumitas and the Aussies. That's how the Argentines took the lead against us before halftime and increased it at the start of the second half. I don't expect them to score three tries every 13 minutes, but there has to be a certain level of intensity maintained at all times. And I think it's not amiss to say that drop-off in that intensity is what led to us losing two matches after building very handy leads. 17-0 up at halftime against Australia is something we should have defended. 19-0 up against the Baby Blacks is only somewhat permissible in that we still had 67 minutes left to play. Still, two disappointing collapses, or at least defeats, when we had solid leads. Poor execution is another problem for me. I guess you could put that down also as making too many mistakes. For example, Kyle Smith not kicking the ball out from a penalty after New Zealand went down to 13 men. You've got to find touch there. It allowed the Baby Blacks to counterattack. Now, we did manage to get the ball back, but then when we did, what did we do? We knocked it on. And they were down to 13 men at that stage. We were 48-45 down. We probably didn't deserve to win the match, but we had the opportunity. It was there. The win was right in front of us, and we stuffed it up. Now, again, I stand by what I said earlier. There is a lot to like. We clearly have potential. We clearly have tools. But the inconsistency is a problem. I also think the short turnaround time between matches didn't help us. A match every 5 days necessitates coaches rotating their squads heavily. To that end, coach Kevin Foote made 11 changes for the Australia match, and we duly got thumped. Now that might call into question our strength in depth. I wonder if we had played the Aussies first, made 11 changes for Argentina, and then finished off against New Zealand, if that might have suited us better and we might have finished second. But that's also just crying over spilt milk, isn't it? It won't help that this is pretty much the same format we'll encounter in Italy, where we have a very difficult pool. Just one other thing I'll say, and that is that many people have spoken about quotas. There is this idea that race-based quotas is what has made this team weak, or at least weaker than what it could or should have been. To that, I would say a couple of things. Earlier, when I spoke about the players that I thought did well, you might have noticed almost all of them were what some might call quota players. So I don't buy that argument. I think it's lazy. I think you need to delve a lot deeper. You can't just say because a team is made up of a certain number of players, in disproportion to other players that you just say, oh, it's this or it's that. Let's look deeper into it. Instead of going with the easy, lazy argument, because don't forget, when we lose, then it's quotas, but when we win, then no one says a word. So that's just nonsense. And quite frankly, it's ignorant and very unfair. So instead, something that I would like to bring to your attention, and I'm not saying that this is 100% what's going on, but it is a reason that I think, at least, is true for us not performing as well as we might want to and making it not the best under-20s in South Africa. It could actually be that these are just the best ones that are available. What do I mean? Well, maybe the best ones are already playing professional rugby, i.e., I know he's over age now, but go back a couple of years, maybe somebody like Kanan Moody, Damian Willemse. They might have been eligible for the under-20 Springboks, but they're already playing for the Stormers, the Bulls, whatever the case may be. And also, and I know that guys would take time off and what have you, but there's also an element of players who are currently preparing for university exams and might have made themselves unavailable, or it just might not have been practical for them to be involved. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing going on, but I'm saying that that is an additional thing that could be taking place here. So there are several reasons why this team might not be as strong as we think it should be or could be. And again, when people are saying this isn't our best team, a quick, easy counter question is, okay, who should be in that team instead of who is currently there? And generally speaking, no one has an answer for you. So if you're going to say this is not our best team and that that player shouldn't be there for whatever reason, and I ask you, well, who should be there in his place? You need to have an answer for me. Otherwise, it's just a lazy excuse. We need to be better. We need to be smarter than that, quite frankly. And I have no doubt some of what I've just mentioned, maybe a little bit of all of it, frankly, is what's going on. But whatever the reasons, if indeed this is not the best squad we could have put together, one thing I have to say is that SA Rugby have actually really put a lot of effort into this year's Junior Springboks. A recruitment program was brought back at the end of last year that hadn't been in place since before COVID. There were training camps that took place where many players were invited, effectively trials. The boys then went on a tour to Georgia. None of that has happened in previous years. They also brought in Johan Ackermann as a consultant to help. So to that end, I'm pleased to see that it is being taken seriously. But of course, you want to know what I think this team's fate will be at the Under-20 World Championship. Well, it turns out, and it hurts me to say this, we have a very, very difficult pool. England are going to be there, and so are Australia. You might have already seen them in action. Scotland are the third team, and then we would be the fourth team. Now, I expect us to beat the Scots. And I hate to say it, but I suspect we'll lose to the English. And, well, you can decide what will happen against the Aussies. I'm going to go with us rectifying what went wrong in Gqeberha, or Port Elizabeth, as it is still called on the N2. That will put us second in our pool, and honestly, that's the best I can see us doing. It will also put us in contention for a semi-final spot. Remember, at the under-20s, only the pool winner goes through, because there are only three pools. Then the best runner-up goes through as well. Now, it could be us, but it could also not be us. Either way, I'm not sure we'd beat France or New Zealand in a semi-final either. But let me know what you think in the comment section down below. And guys, just before I go, I'd like to quickly encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. I would love to do this full-time, guys, and bring you more episodes of Front Row Rugby. And there are great benefits as well. If you sign up as a member, for example, you can get your name mentioned in my YouTube videos. I might write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. We can even have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok tactics and other elements to boot. You might even stand a chance to win yourself cool prizes like Springbok match tickets and Springbok merchandise, as well as getting discounts on my own personal merchandise. I hope to launch my store in the next 3 months or so. Now, in order to do that, you need to head on over to my Patreon page, sign up as a patron. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Namibian. $5, it goes all the way up to $100. So whatever you're comfortable with, wherever you see yourself fitting in, if you'd like to help me out, if you'd like to support me, I'd encourage you to head on over there and sign up. The link is in the description area below, and I look forward to your company next time.